down. Buzzer beater, do it all now, top corner talking home run. Touchdown, buzzer beater, do it all now, top corner like.
All right, hello everybody. It is Monday, October 13th, 2025, and this is the Monday Report. I'm your host, H. James K., and today we are going to have a discussion about Penn State. Yes, the James Franklin era at Penn State is sadly over. And we are going to talk all about it. How did we get here? What does this mean? Who fired who? Buy out all of it. All right, let's get right into it. So, this story really starts out last year. So, last year, Penn State was a really senior-laden team. They were experienced. They had all the pieces. Everything was looking up. This was the year where they were going to get in the playoffs and win everything. And they got in the playoffs, and they didn't get a championship. No, okay. No big deal. We got all the pieces. We're going to come back in 2025, and that's going to be the year. We're going to do what Michigan did, where they fell short in 2022 and came back in 2023, and we're going to be better, and we're going to win. Yeah. Just like Michigan did in 23, just like Ohio State did in 24. That's what we're going to do. Entering 2025, there were tons of expectations surrounding Ohio State. They were the preseason number two overall team. They were one of my picks for the playoffs, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Even though I was kind of skeptical of Franklin. Boy, doesn't that look like some good insight from the preseason. Either way, there was tons of hype. Drew Aller was getting Heisman Trophy consideration. This was the year. They had made improvements in the receiving core, so they thought. They had experience on defense. Guys had come back. This was it. The stars had aligned. And through three games, things were going well. They hadn't really played anyone worth their salt, but they were beating the crap out of everyone. Yeah, okay, the offense is a little clunky, but whatever. They're working out the kinks. This team is great. They're going to beat Oregon. Week four comes around. Time to play Oregon. You lose in double overtime. Penn State loses. And all of a sudden, everyone went, oh, so it's just never going to happen. James Franklin is just never going to get over the hump. Bummer. Well, all right, we can still get in the playoffs. You just got to right the ship going into UCLA, and that'll be it. And then you lose to UCLA like 42-37. Oh. Okay, playoffs are probably out of the picture, but we could still get a bowl game. James Franklin can salvage this. We can turn this around and rebuild for next year. You lose 22-21 to Northwestern at home in the homecoming game. Oh, so it's over. And then Sunday morning, sure enough, it was over. In 4 weeks, the entirety of the Penn State football program has unraveled. As I said, Northwestern defeated Penn State 22-21 in Happy Valley. Drew Aller went 13 of 20 for 137 yards and an interception. Here's a crazy stat. Penn State had as many passing yards as they did rushing yards. They had 137 of both. Crazy. I've never seen that before. That's a real stat. Drew Aller left the game with a season-ending ankle injury. The injury is undisclosed, but it's a season-ending injury, ending Drew Aller's college career. And then they fired Franklin. And it's one of those where losing to Oregon, okay, yeah, you're Franklin, you can't beat big teams, no big deal. That's just what it is, no big deal. Losing to UCLA, yeah, they were a winless team. They were one of the worst in the Power Four, but new head coach, new offensive play caller, crazy things happen. Jerry Neuheisel called the game of his life. Penn State can shake it off. Losing to Northwestern as a 20-plus point favorite at home on homecoming, it's inexcusable. To tell you how bad this loss was Fans in the stands were audibly shouting "Fire Franklin" throughout the game, "Fire James." After the game was over, the torrent of boos was so loud, the commentary booth just turned their mics off, so you didn't hear it. And even then, you could still hear it, kind of. It was absolutely incredible how loud the boos were. I've never seen anything like that. And then, after the game, as Franklin is walking into the tunnel, players are, like, shaking his hand, and there's sullen faces, because everybody knew this was it. This was the end. There was no way Penn State could go on with James Franklin after losing to Northwestern. And when you look at their schedule, their final six games, you can see why. Next week, they're going to Iowa. They're playing in Kinnick, and unlike last year, this Iowa team is kind of sneaky. Mark Gronowski is a solid QB, and they just beat the tar out of Wisconsin. They did better against Wisconsin than Michigan did. And then after that, Penn State goes to Ohio State. You're losing that game. Then they welcome Indiana at home. You're losing that game because Indiana just beat Oregon at Autzen Stadium, something Penn State couldn't do. Then you get a gimme game at Michigan State. Okay, that gets you kind of on track again. But then you got to play Nebraska at home, and Nebraska's got higher aspirations. They just do. They got a good QB. They got a good head coach. They're an up-and-coming team. They're dangerous. And then you close the season at Rutgers. Greg Schiano's a good coach. They're physical. Where is three wins in there? Where does James Franklin get three wins without Drew Aller in those six games? Is Gruckenmeier or whatever his name is, Eli Gruckenmeier, is he going to get you three wins? No. And that is why Penn State fired him. Because with the way things have unraveled, they get maybe one more win. Michigan State, because Michigan State is just, they're so bad. It's crazy. I don't even think their coach, Jonathan Smith, is going to survive the year. They're that bad. But I think they could lose every other game, even Rutgers. Because by that time, you're demoralized, no one cares, no one's trying. Yeah. So, it had to happen. And Penn State is in the middle of a $700 million stadium renovation. They're redoing the stadium. It's massive. It's a huge endeavor. A lot of money. And they've got a new $300 million 10-year Adidas apparel contract. Oh, yeah. That's big, big money. And there's talk that there's a massive $2 billion private equity investment coming for the Big Ten Conference that would be millions, hundreds of millions of dollars pushed into every single team. There's a lot of money moving around, and the team is falling apart. So Franklin had to go. There are rumors, and I'm just saying these are rumors. There are rumors that Adidas offered to buy out James Franklin's contract, that they wanted him gone after Oregon. Now, I don't know if I believe that. Those are just coming from sources. That's not from, like, Pete Thamel or anyone. No, that's just, quote-unquote, sources. I don't know how much I believe that. But if it's even half true, then this was always going to happen, and it was just a matter of time, which would explain the fact that the team just, if you watch the product on the field at the UCLA game, it was clear that the team had quit on James Franklin. It was even more clear during the Northwestern game, where they just weren't even trying. I mean, Northwestern, credit to David Braun, they're not a talented team, but he got them up to play a team that was physically superior to them, and they won. They just gave more effort than Penn State, and that's all it took. So That was it. It was done. It's the second largest buyout in college football history, behind Jimbo Fisher's $77 million buyout from Texas A&M from like 2 years ago or 1 year ago. So, yeah, after the 2023 season, so 2 years ago. So, it's crazy. I little peek behind the curtain. On Saturday, after all the football games were done, I wrote up the write-up for the next big episode of the College Football Roundup, and I had an entire segment on Penn State. Well, guess what? I deleted half of it, and the other half, it's right here. That's what this episode has become. I just plucked it out of that write-up, turned it into its own episode, and here we are. because I had no idea that this was happening when I wrote it. So instead I had to come up with a new segment in that episode. You can go listen to the College Football Roundup. That will have already come out probably 15, 30 minutes before this episode did. Both coming out on Monday, of course. So that was a whole thing. But I'm just... These are the things you hate about college football. I mean, James Franklin is a... We have to remember, James Franklin is a person. You know, it's... It's easy to get caught up in the, oh, they've got to be better, millions of dollars, I pay for these tickets, blah, 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 blah. No. These are real people who are doing something that's really hard, and it takes a lot of investment. I mean, think of how much time James Franklin has invested that he could have been spending with his family, with his friends, doing other things that it's been that has been dedicated to the game. And yes, he's been making millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars. Granted, but it's still a lot of effort, and you don't like seeing... I mean, do you think I wanted to see James Franklin get unceremoniously fired in the middle of the 2025 season? Hell no. I would love to see a coach like him, a nice guy, a good coach, a good leader of men, get his walk-off in the sunset moment where he got his... He achieved his goals and things worked out well. Everyone, you... Of course you want to see that. Maybe not with Ohio State, but, I mean, I don't want to see, and even Ryan Day, I wouldn't want to see him just get summarily booted out of the program and humiliated in the middle of the season. Good coaches don't deserve to go out this way. But at the same time, it's too much money at stake. Too many people. Too much is at stake with these games. I mean, even still, even if Penn State manages to hire a good coach 2 years before they're back in contention, and if they get a bad coach, 10 years. Trust me, Michigan didn't get a good hire after Lloyd Carr retired. Michigan was lost in the wilderness from 2008 until 2020. It took 12 years for Michigan to finally claw their way back into contention. And as we're seeing now, after Harbaugh, we may or may not have landed a good coach with Sherrone Moore. That jury is still out. When you don't have a good hire, it can be years before a team is back in contention, if they ever get back in contention. Glenn Mason was the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and Gophers fans were tired of coming up short and not winning Big Ten conferences, so they fired Glenn Mason. Yeah, PJ Fleck was the next guy to even get them close, and he didn't really get them close. They've never been back to those heights. That was back in like 2009 when they fired Glenn Mason. It's 2025, and Minnesota is just kind of a mid-tier Big Ten team. You know, Nebraska. They fired Bo Pelini. They've never gotten back to those heights. Just did. No, you didn't get the good hire, and they're still lost in the wilderness trying to find a hire. So for Penn State, on the one hand, you had to do this. You had to fire James Franklin to salvage something before things totally fall apart. Now, admittedly, in an ugly divorce like this, it's going to get messy. We've already seen multiple high-value five-star recruits decommit. They're going to lose a ton of guys in the portal. But if they get a guy like Kurt Cignetti, or you poach someone, you know, you poach the offensive coordinator from Oregon, or you get some big name head coach to come in and salvage things, yeah, then you might be you can right the ship. I mean, Kalen DeBoer came in and kept the band together, so to speak, at Alabama. So Penn State is going to have to seriously get this right. Like, this hire determines the next decade of Penn State football. You want to know how I know? Because James Franklin has been at Penn State since 2014. That's how long this has been going on. So, I think it's 2014. 14 or 15. It's been like 10 or 11 years. So this has been a massive, massive, massive tenure under Franklin. So if you don't get this right, yeah. Now, going forward this season, maybe you beat Iowa. Don't really think so. You probably beat Michigan State. Maybe you beat Rutgers. You ain't going bowling. And if you do, it's because you got in because of academics. But for Penn State, this year doesn't matter. If you lose every game, okay, you went 3-9. Yep. It's just whatever happens this year happens. Now, maybe Terry Smith, who is the cornerbacks coach who has been named the interim head coach, maybe he wins the next six games and he gets them into the ReliaQuest Bowl or whatever. Maybe Terry Smith is the guy to beat Ohio State, beat Indiana, Rutgers. Yeah, maybe he's the guy. And you just, things are fine. More than likely, you get your ass whipped five more times and you call it a season. The next head coaching hire matters. That's the one. If it was me, if I was the athletic director at Penn State, I would march into Kurt Cignetti, his office, the head coach of Indiana. I would march into Kurt Cignetti's office. I would put a check and a pen on his desk and say, "You write a number on that check, and we'll make it work, and you'll be the head coach at Penn State. You put whatever number you want. Well, that's it. You want $12 million? Deal. You just beat Oregon as Indiana's head coach. You have Indiana as, this is the best Indiana team ever. Ever. Penn State needs a guy like that, who just wins, who runs a tight ship, who has fire in his belly. Yeah, that's the guy you need. Go get Kurt Cignetti. And if not Kurt Cignetti, then find someone who is going to bring structure and discipline and accountability to the team and an actual freaking identity. Not this aimless, oh, we're good enough to beat most people, but not the best. That's what you got to do. But to me, the only candidate is Kurt Cignetti. Which kills me because I'd like to have Kurt Cignetti at Michigan. I think Kurt Cignetti would be freaking awesome at Michigan. But whoever gets to Kurt Cignetti first is going to be a championship contender, because that dude is a really good coach. And for Indiana fans, enjoy it now. You better win a chip in 25, because he gone after the year. There are too many. Florida is going to have a coaching vacancy. Maybe Auburn. You know, maybe Oklahoma if things fall apart. I doubt that. But Penn State, maybe Michigan if things get really bad. I kind of doubt that, but you never know. You know, there's a lot of openings that are going to want him, who have more resources than Indiana. So they need to enjoy it, because it's going to be gone. Now, how does this affect the rest of college football? Welp, Indiana and Ohio State can chalk up another W. That's a game they don't have to worry about. That's done. For David Braun, you might have just saved your job, because I heard that things were getting kind of spicy in freaking at Northwestern. Evansville, right? I think it's Evansville. I'm going to the internet. I'm looking it up. Either way, wherever Northwestern is, wherever they are, they got a good coach. I like David Braun. I really do. And Evansville? Yeah, Evansville, Illinois. That's it. Yeah. God, I don't know why I was thinking Indiana. It's Evansville, Illinois. Either way, this is a huge win for them. It's a huge win. Tim Skipper and Jerry Neuheisel at UCLA, it's a huge win for them. Because, I mean, even with a flailing Penn State, you still beat them. They're still a team that's theoretically superior to you in talent and coaching staff. So that's a big deal. Now, there's going to be a feeding frenzy. If Penn State doesn't get a good coaching hire, like, say, there have been rumors about Matt Rhule, because I guess Matt Rhule has some connection to Penn State. If it's Matt Rhule, there's going to be a feeding frenzy there's going to be a feeding frenzy at Nebraska. Guys like Dylan Raiola will be right there. Or maybe he follows Rhule to Penn State. I doubt it. But either way, whoever gets their coach poached, feeding frenzy on that team's dead carcass, because they got good players and everything. If Penn State gets a bad hire, a lot of players from Penn State are going to be going out the door. A lot of recruits. So regardless, someone's getting picked apart. That's, you got to, you know, it's the toll you pay for college football. You got to pay the toll. Someone gets, has got to be picked apart. It happens every time. Washington got picked apart when Kalen DeBoer went to Bama. And then Arizona got picked apart when Jed Fish left Arizona to go to Washington. You know, it, down the road, down the line, down the line. It's the way it's got to work. So for whoever hires, whoever gets hired to be the head coach at Penn State, if it's an already established head coach, feeding frenzy. Someone is going to get, someone's going to get picked apart. And you hate that because it's horrible for fans and it's horrible for the other team. But it's the way of the world. Boy, I really thought Penn State was going to be good this year. Not like national championship, but I thought they would be a playoff contender. But they're gone. And they're not the only ones. Trent Dilfer, the head coach at UAB, he got fired today. It's not today. I'm recording this on Sunday, like always. He got fired over the weekend. Oregon State head coach Trent Bray got fired after an 0-7 start. So it was a rowdy weekend when it comes to head coaching jobs. So, yep, Penn State is in the market for a new head coach. Man, I thought I was going to be making this video in January. I did not think this. I didn't think it would be October when I would be making this video, this episode. Sad, sad, sad. It's the end of an era. All right. So for those of you listening on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else that podcast is sold, thank you, are available. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spread the words, tell your friends and family so we can help the show grow. For those of you listening on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell icon so you get notifications. Leave a comment to help feed the algorithm. Tell your friends and family so the channel can grow. I know that I have at least some regular listeners on YouTube. I appreciate those of you who tune in all the time. I appreciate it, I appreciate it, I appreciate it. All right. Next week, we're going to continue with the college football roundup. And if there's another big life-altering news, then I'll make another video like this. Another episode. All right. My name is HJMSK. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time.